This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. We're continuing our series, I Have Decided. And we've been just looking at a number of keys, I suppose, to understanding, what is involved in being a disciple. Because, you know, over the course of this series, we're going to look at three keys to this decision to follow Jesus Christ: discipleship, stewardship, and leadership. And so with regards to, you know, the characteristics of a disciple, we looked at firstly clarity and secondly humility. And, you know, humility is such an important key to any man or woman who wants to be used by God, because Christ said, I'm among you as one who serves. And again, you know, I think it's so important as leaders that we lead with humility. 2 Timothy 2:24 to 26. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. And so the Bible says, in humility, correcting, and in humility, leading. This is so important for us, that we walk before God in humility. John chapter 3 and verse 25. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. They came to John and said, Rabbi, he was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you've testified. Behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness, I said, I'm not the Christ, but I've been sent before him. He who is the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. And so John, rather than becoming insecure or frustrated or angry, recognized that Jesus Christ is above all. And therefore he declared those immortal words, he must increase, but I must decrease. I think it's the New Living says, he must become greater and greater, I must become less and less. And, you know, wouldn't that answer so many of our issues? Less of me and more of thee. But anyway, a disciple knows that Jesus is above all and lives according to that eternal perspective. And so, again, I think it's not Ireland or Europe first or America first. It's Jesus first, last, and in the middle. 2 Kings 3:11, but Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha the son of Shaphath is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. A disciple will serve in humility. He doesn't care who sees or gets the credit. A disciple is humble enough to understand that without Christ you can do nothing. John 15 and verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So say it after me today. I am nothing without Jesus. You see, Zechariah 4 verse 10 in the New Living tells us to do not despise these small beginnings. The Amplified says, who with reason despises the day of small things or small beginnings? And so humility teaches us that Rome wasn't built in a day, that it's okay to start small and grow from there, because disciples are committed to growth. A disciple of Christ is a lifelong learner. Humility calls us to grow. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's Matthew 12, 28 to 30. Teachability is an essential for disciples. It means you don't know it all and that you're open to criticism, correction, and input. And yes, constructive criticism won't kill you. You might not like it. It might hurt your ego. And at times, it might not even be delivered with kindness or love. But humility teaches us to overlook the manner in which feedback is given to us, and to take the grain of truth that may be there in the criticism or the feedback. And so, Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Humility teaches us that if someone cares enough to bring correction, then we should at least listen and consider what is said. A disciple knows that God puts people over you to help you to grow up before you go up. A disciple knows that if you can take it, you can make it. That's why 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." And so we've looked at clarity, we've looked at humility, and the third one, in terms of characteristics of disciples, clarity, humility, and thirdly, sovereignty. Matthew 6, 9 and 10. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Sovereignty simply means that God as God does what he wants, when he wants, in the way he wants, and we accept that as his children. But sadly, sovereignty in many instances is misrepresented or taken out of context and used to argue that sickness, disease, and disaster are somehow, at least at times, God's will, because he's sovereign, and therefore everything that happens is his will, right? Wrong. Satan is the god of this fallen world. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 in the New Living, "Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God." You see, Satan only comes to rob, to kill, and to destroy, as John 10 and verse 10 says. But God doesn't contradict his word. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all else that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And so, 3 John 2 declares that God wants us well. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 says that by his stripes we were healed. And, you know, I think it's interesting to consider that when you look at Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, Isaiah was written approximately 700 years before the birth of Christ. And yet it speaks of what Christ has done. It speaks of the finished work of Christ as in the past tense. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs." You know, because God dwells in the eternal. God is the eternal God. He inhabiteth eternity, it says in the Bible. And yet God dwells in light unapproachable. God dwells in eternity, and because he dwells in eternity, he's outside of the realm of time. And so, you know, the Bible says God calls things that are not as though they were. And so in God's eyes, it was a settled issue. It was a finished work. And it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs." It didn't say, "Surely he will." It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." What a glorious promise, that by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. You see, any time Jesus encountered sickness in the Gospels, he brought healing and deliverance. Not one time did he say to those who are sick, "This is my will." Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 13 and verse 16, and it says, "So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think but for 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" Jesus was very clear in identifying the origin of her affliction, and it wasn't God. It wasn't her cross to bear. Never once did he say to the afflicted, "This is God's will for you," or "God is teaching you something," or "This is your cross to bear." And I think it was important to clarify that, because Jesus said, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound?" Acts 10:38 again, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And so, a disciple therefore accepts God's sovereignty, and we surrender our plans for his. And sometimes our plans and his plans aren't necessarily the same. And this is why, again, it's important that we surrender to the Master's will in every situation and circumstance, and that we accept it. You know, God, you are sovereign, and Lord, have your way in our lives. And as I finish today, I just pray, Lord, that, you know, there may be areas where our plans are at odds with yours, or maybe completely contrary to what your will is. And I pray that you will make your will clear to us in every area of our lives, and that in every situation, Lord God, that we would understand that you are sovereign, that you are in control, and that we don't have to be afraid no matter what happens in the world. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, as it says in the book of Psalms. And so let's remind ourselves, it's all His. God's in control. He's sovereign. We can trust Him. He's a good God. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. Hope you can join us again tomorrow right here on UCB Ireland as we continue our series, I Have Decided.